You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. Happy Sunday. It's a beautiful fall afternoon in Hollywood, California. We hope you're having a great day. Mm-hmm. I am Janie Beauclair here with my co-host,
Tony St. Tone. We are very happy to have a great guest on today for you guys. Have you ever wanted to talk to your pet or wonder what they were thinking?
I sure do.
Well, today you are going to learn all about it. And actually, we are going to have a reading done for our cat also, Kimba.
Very exciting.
Very exciting about that. So,
yeah, let's talk just a little bit more about that. You know, we are in a band and we do a lot of traveling, and we were asked to take and rescue a kitten 4 years ago. And so we did, but we knew that we'd be traveling. And so I've been really reluctant every time to know what to do with her, because I feel like she's been passed hand to hand for a while, and then we get her and we travel a lot. So my concern has always been, is this cat happy with us? Would she rather be in a kennel when we're gone? Would she rather be at home? So right now, season is that we'll be traveling a lot again for the holidays, for different tours and things we've got going on. So I want to know what makes my cat happy. And it's really interesting that somebody is here to tell us that.
It is, and I have worked with pet communicators in the past.
That is also really cool.
When once you do that, it's a really great thing. So we do have a pet communicator on our show today, Sultani Tripp. And we'll get to him in a minute. But before we go there,
it has been a big day in the St. Tone neighborhood.
Yeah, we have some things happening with St. Tone. As you know, I put out a song called Cranky Pants a while ago, and we finally finished the video. And so the video is up, and it's getting some great response. And so a lot of people keep saying that we should put it on Ellen.
So if you guys know somebody connected to the Ellen show, let us know. We're going to see if we can get Ellen to do the Cranky Pants dance. Mm-hmm. I think she'd have a ball with it. I think she'd have her whole audience doing it. And what a blast. What a great time.
You know, and we put our feelers out so far, and we've already gotten a couple of responses of people that are
Say you're only 6 degrees.
6 degrees away.
Yeah. So, you know, we're hoping to go from 6 to 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1.
I think it's going to happen.
You know, another reason we want to showcase that song to Ellen is because that song features our friend Mike Precise. And Mike Precise is the gentleman that we've been doing the GoFundMe campaign for.
Yes.
For the last 2 months. And we're still a ways away and only asking for $5 a person. So if you can help over this holiday season to get these guys their sight back, what a beautiful gift, the gift that keeps on giving, to be able to see the rest of your life as a 28-year-old man.
Yeah, literally. I think that would be a great gift.
You know, hop on our site and click on the GoFundMe. You'll see Mike's picture there. But also help spread around this Cranky Pants thing, because if we can get Mike known on Ellen, then maybe somebody can pay to get his sight taken care of for he and his twin brother.
Yeah, and you're going to get a chance to see and hear Mike on the video. So definitely check it out. So if you go to sainttone.com, it is on my videos page. But also you can look it up. It's on YouTube. It's St. Tone.
S-A-I-N-T-T-O-N-E.
Yes, Cranky Pants. And it's definitely posted on my Facebook.
The kids in the video are so funny. They crack me up. The oldest one's probably like 3. Oh, my God. These kids doing these dances are just hysterical. Hysterical.
They got
rhythm.
If
you rewind the video and you watch the kids in slow motion, let me tell you, you will wet your pants. It's funny.
So also coming up this week, it's the week of Thanksgiving, where everyone gets together and
harvest festivals
and celebrates giving and what we have and be thankful for it. And it's an interesting time, because as we start looking at that, if we begin to count our blessings and we look around us and we can just focus on what we do have as opposed to what we don't have, mm-hmm. you'll definitely have that much better of a holiday. I promise you.
Absolutely. And here's another really cool thing to make you feel fantastic for the holidays. Smile at somebody. Do something nice for a complete stranger. Man, does it make you feel good.
Well, and it's a stressful time, especially for people that are working at stores.
Right.
So when you're at the cash register
thank you.
The girl looks
what
at
a
you.
Smile.
And you're buying your groceries, especially because there's nothing more miserable than a person bagging 10,000 pieces of food and looking at you going, I've been doing this for 8 hours.
Next.
Give them a smile. When I used to do that when I was 16,
see,
I would dream.
You haven't let go of it, I see.
Exactly. I'd have nightmares. That food just kept coming down the
conveyor
belt.
30 years later, still haunts him.
I'd have nightmares about the conveyor belt and how food would just continually keep coming and I couldn't bag it quick enough. So, you know, give that person a smile or just help bag the groceries.
You know,
something
that we did a few years back was we raised money for the Salvation Army. We were bell ringers.
Yes.
At a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
in front of a store.
Yep.
We had a little competition, you and I, a little friendly wager.
Yes.
Who could get more money in their Salvation Army pot? Now, you've seen those pots. It's the triangle with the big, you know, barrel that hangs from it type thing. People go by,
yeah,
put money in there.
Got to ring a bell.
Yeah. So, Tony, how did you choose to make your money at your door?
I brought my guitar, mm-hmm. and I put the bell on my foot, so I was just banging my foot, and I had a lot of people say, wow, I've never heard someone play a bell like that, so I did good, but then again, you snuck in from behind and had a boombox and convinced all the old men to dance with you.
I did $5 dances with every elderly gentleman that walked out of the grocery store in Florida. And I did $5 a dance to all kinds of Santa songs. It was
not a lot of happy housewives, let me tell you, that were watching their old men get twirled around.
Oh, it was for charity.
Of course it was.
It was for charity. It was fun, but I definitely won the competition. And yeah, Thanksgiving coming on here. We're going to have a lovely feast of our own. Everybody does different traditional things for Thanksgiving. But don't forget what the meaning of Thanksgiving is. Because
yeah.
the whole reason everybody's getting together is to be thankful and mindful of what we have and how awesome our lives are. And that all our cups are not only half full, but overflowing with fabulousness.
Yep. And with that being said, the song I want to play before we get into our interview is State of Abundance.
Oh, perfect.
So when you begin to live in that state of abundance, great things happen.
It's a mindset.
This is State of Abundance by St. Tone. Check it out.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. I'm living here in a state of abundance. Appreciating things no matter how small. Blessing. Upside down, more faith, more love through the Lord.
have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. 'Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Okay, and we are back with Sultani Tripp from talktoyouranimals.com. Tripp, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you? How are you, Janie?
Hi, I'm awesome. So nice to hear you on the show, buddy.
You know, I'm really excited. Really excited about having you on today because I think there's a lot of people out there who are really going to learn a lot. As I had said earlier, before you came on, I told everyone about you and how you're an animal communicator and how we're actually going to talk to you a little bit about our cat and our animal in our life. But before we get into that, what I want to do is I want to have our listeners talk, I want you to talk to our listeners a little bit about how you got started in this whole thing.
Well, I was, part of it was I was born into it. I always knew I had an ability to, let's say, see through the three dimensions.
Okay.
But that was quickly discouraged in me as a kid. That wasn't really something my folks or the people around me encouraged much, and so I kind of forgot about it for a really long time. Got into martial arts later on as an adult.
Really?
And began... Yeah, I began to work with energies that I, you know, that you might think to yourself on the surface, wow, that's almost unbelievable. Things that my grandmaster could do, bending energy, things of that nature. And, you know, as you progress and get into the black belt levels and things, you begin to realize there really isn't anyone to fight. There really isn't anything to do. So what do you do with all this energy and this expertise? And the natural place to put it is into healing. You can use the same energy that you're using in that defensive mode for healing, and lots of the original systems did. Qigong is one of those types of things. They call it Qi, life force energy. So I began doing body work through that. Eventually it led me into Reiki energy healing work, which is something a lot more people hear about these days now. Reiki took it up a notch, made it really powerful. I'm a certified Reiki Master Teacher, which is the highest level in the Asui Reiki Master System that you could be in. And I didn't intend on it when I started it. I just did it mostly to have something to do, and it just became so powerful for me and so focused that I realized that I really wanted to keep going with it. And I grew and expanded with each level that I attained and each certification that I attained. So
how did you progress from this? You said you started off as a child and you were discouraged. So, you know, as a child, what age were you at when you were discouraged to really not say, Mom, that's so-and-so calling on the phone, or like, don't do that? Was it that type of thing? Like you're just picking up normal intuitive things of like
some of it was that, but some of it was actually, you know, sitting down and talking with entities that, now I realize that were coming through my stuff to talking to imaginary friends.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
At first it was cute, so it was not so discouraged until some of the conversations and some of the information that started coming from it started to match up with things, and they began to get a little bit weirded out by it. It wasn't so imaginary anymore or cute, and I was pretty insistent that I was having a conversation with something, not just imagining it.
So, with that being said, so you're a young child and you're discouraged from sort of saying things or doing things, and so you suppress it in a way, which is really interesting that happens quite often, and I'm sure it happened a lot back in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and probably even sometimes today. You would think that more people might be open to it, but I'm sure there's places out there that there are kids that are still discouraged and from exploring that aspect of themselves.
My parents made me name my little friend because they'd always ask me who I was talking to, and I didn't have a name for that person, so I was pushed into naming that little friend.
And what was the name?
Wow.
Susie. My little friend Susie.
So you're talking to Susie again.
Well, yeah, because they couldn't understand it, you know, so they were like, who are you talking to? I don't know, my friend. Well, who is your friend? What's your friend's name? She doesn't have a name. I don't know. No, what's your friend's name? And so, you know, after multiple questions of that nature over several years, it's like, yeah, you give the kid a name already just to shut them up.
Well, and the thing is that while some of us might be born into a better proclivity toward this, just like somebody might be better at sports or better at art, just naturally it's kind of what you're born into. Mm-hmm. This is what we are. We all had this. We learn to forget it as we grow into being people, but we come into the world remembering it and remembering that connection to it because it's what we are.
I think you let go of it as you're getting into adulthood.
Well, because you're getting discouraged from it. I mean, yeah. I think if you were raised in a more welcoming environment, they would encourage it. And I've seen both aspects of it. I've seen people that have had the gift, and their mom had the gift, and their grandmother had the gift, and it was accepted and it was encouraged. And then I've seen others where they're like, I don't know what to do with you. You might be possessed. I'm taking you to a priest. So, you know, it's really interesting to see that happen.
And my mother had the gift certainly with animals, and the animals didn't come till later. You know, I began channeling higher consciousness energy first, and that started for me before that. And so most of my childhood experiences were probably closer to that kind of channeling. So that kind of freaked my parents out. It wasn't just connection with animals. My mom definitely had the gift with animals, and we certainly inherited that. I even think my brother did to a point as well. And everything that we're talking about here is so important. I mean, one of the places that I volunteer for is called the Little Light Project. You can find them at littlelightproject.com. And what we do is we're a group of professional psychologists all the way through to intuitives that work with on a number of levels. But one of the things we work with is with parents and with children who are highly intuitive and have these gifts, in order to help them manage the gifts and encourage them and understand them so that they're not extinguished or pushed down or repressed, because that doesn't work very well, as I found out many decades later.
That is awesome. So this is an organization that obviously embraces what your abilities are and encourages it in younger kids for them to move forward, and gives parents a place to bring their child where they don't understand. It's like, I need to bring you someone that does what you do, because let's face it, a lot of times the parents go, since I don't understand it, I can't relate to it, so we're going to shut it down because they don't know what it is. And the fear factor comes in going, well, I don't know. And that's, again, when the holy water comes out and you're going to see the priest.
So. Well, and they just want the best for their children. They don't want to see their children ostracized socially and these kinds of things. So we work with the parents, too. We work with the children to manage it, but we also work with the parents to understand and manage it as well, and to see it for what it is, and to, you know, get used to the fact this is a a particular gift or set of
skills,
natural skills that their child was born with, like being able to be athletic or a good artist. And it's something that will require some learning curve on their part to accept, because it is a little bit socially still on the outside realm, but we're seeing it more and more commonly accepted as we begin to evolve ourselves as people, and we're beginning to see that these energies are not so strange.
No, I think I really believe that everybody has them, and they're a muscle no different than your bicep. You must exercise that bicep muscle, so that's what these people need to do, is just exercising that intuitive muscle.
So, Tripp, do you think that animals have the same ability?
Almost definitely they have the same ability. In fact, most of them don't show up as complex as we do.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, most of what we show up with in our complexity is stuff that kind of holds us back from this natural ability to be in tune with things and energies around us. So,
yeah.
They don't really have that block. So, cats, for instance, in my experience and my knowledge of them and connecting with them, they actually can dimensionally travel and dimensionally shift themselves. So they're quite used to seeing past the three dimensions all the time and slipping in and out. And you ever have that feeling where your cat suddenly shows up right behind you, but you don't know where it came from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like they can hide in plain sight, because they literally are. Some cases hiding in plain sight or dimensionally shifting, or, you know, so yeah, I believe these animals definitely are connected to that. I help with animals that are transitioning, and I help their owners a lot through that process. I've yet to connect with an animal that's afraid of transition at all or doesn't get it. They don't have that kind of doubt or fear that we do. That's the complexity layers that we layer on when we get disconnected from that natural flow of things that they just don't have.
You know, and I agree with that so much. And it's funny, I had a cat that passed away a number of years ago. And I remember talking to a communicator, a pet communicator, and they were saying that our cat was just ready to check out, you know, and it was just what it was. And it was really interesting. It helped me get through it. And you know, what I'd like to have our listening audience know is the different ways that you can help them, since you do communicate with animals. It could be something that is an illness that they might be feeling, or they might be transitioning, or it might be a question as, hey, we're going to be going away for the next 3 or 4 days. Do you want to stay in a kennel, or do you want to stay here? And so how would someone ask you a question, and what do they need to do? Because I know that we set some things up with you with our cat, but I want you to say to our listening audience, if I were to do a session for you, this is the type of information I would need before I could start the session.
Well, the prep information that I like to get is just the background. If there's any medical issues with the animal, then letting me know what's been done, what kind of treatments are ongoing or have been done. Who else is in the household, both people and animals? Because it's all interrelated, and animals are very often reflecting what's going on in their environment. That's one of their big purposes, especially the ones that we take in as domesticated animals. They tend to reflect the energies that are going on and the dynamics that are going on. So it's always good to know from people what those dynamics are, because maybe your cat hates your sister. Who knows?
You know, that's very similar to Cesar Millan and how he talks about energies, and how if the household has a very hyper energy, if the mom of the household is very, come here, little puppy, I'm very excited, and then the dog's very excited, that energy is very high energy, and that's why, you know, he'll come in there and say, you need to calm down for the dog to calm down. You can't get him to calm down if you're very hyper. So I agree with that 1,000%, because you can see it all the time. Like,
sure.
if you look for it, you know, you'll see it.
Yeah, it's very reflective, and it's very unique to the particular animal. For instance, you could have a dog that's chewing your furniture, for instance, or something like that. And it could be anything from it's just plain bored, which has happened all the way through. There's a family dynamic he's reacted to, or maybe you're leaving him alone too long. I've even had, especially in dogs, this can happen, where the dog's wanted, hasn't had a sense of a job to do, and is that type of a dog, maybe a working breed, or it's just something inside the dog that it needs a job to do, like protect the house. And once the owners or caretakers are able to give it that job, even if the job is symbolic in some way, the dog, that behavior then changes.
So yes. Mm-hmm.
It really depends on the dynamic, and it can be very unique in that sense. Your animal could get nervous just going to the vet or the groomer. You know, I can help with those kinds of things and calming the animal down and healing the animal. It's not always just from healing from injuries or vet procedures and things of that nature, but I work a lot with emotional issues and behavioral issues. And, of course, as you mentioned, those behavioral issues are going to extend into the family dynamic almost every time. There's going to be some connection between the people who are there in the home and caretaking, or even maybe not caretaking, but there present, or even the other animals, and that animal and its behavior.
Right, right. And, you know, it's interesting. I had my cat had peed on a leather couch, and we lost our minds at the time. And that's one of the reasons why we called a pet communicator. Because, like, oh my God, we've had this cat for like 10 years. He's never done anything like that. And you're like, what the hell? Why did you do that? And the cat's just like, I didn't know. I didn't think it was such a big deal. I didn't realize that you guys were going to get that
freak
upset
out
about
over it.
Yeah. And it's like, well, we did. You know, like, the cat was just like, eh, I don't know. You know, it wasn't to them, it was just like another place. You know?
Sure, and the leather is an animal skin, and there may be something in connection with that. It's so funny you bring up the leather couch specifically, because this came up in a reading with a client just earlier today. I've actually tried a few times now to get animals to understand the concept of money, something that's expensive or having to go out and work. And first of all, 99% of them just don't even get it. They don't understand the
concept. That's because they lay around and don't do anything for a living.
Well, they understand the natural beingness, right? They're just being, and they understand it. I have had a couple of smart cats get the idea and literally send back this vibration to me of incredulousness, like, well, that's really stupid. Why do you do that? I mean, for them, it makes absolutely no sense to go out and spend time doing something you wouldn't really want to do just so you could come home with some cat food.
Yeah.
Because I always put it to terms of cat food or dog food for them so they can somehow understand the value of it.
Our cat would like us to work overtime to serve the princess here.
Well, yeah, we'll get to your cat, but yeah, that's definitely something that's come up with your cat for sure.
Well, let's get into our cat for a second, because we've got a cat that we adopted. Her name is Kimba, and we got her about 3 or 4 years
ago. 4 years now.
And her first owner was a 5-year-old little girl, and when we got her, she was a kitten, and she had some paste in her tail and some paste on her front paw that was all dried and crusty. And
her name was Cupcake.
Her name was Cupcake. And so we try to keep it similar, so that's how we came up with Kimba. But she has adjusted to us incredibly, and I've had a lot of cats. Janie's had cats in the past, and the funniest thing about this cat is she has such a personality all her own. I remember I was telling you earlier off the air that she loves to eat vegetables and fruit, which is very odd. I went and asked the vet, and the vet goes, that's extremely strange. So you don't have an average cat, and we know we don't have an average cat. She's extremely
intuitive. Yeah.
So,
and we feel like she's the energy of former animals that we've each had.
Yeah, we feel like she's a mix of Janie's old dog and my old cat, because she has similar characteristics to both of them. Her dog used to love to eat fruits and vegetables, like literally off the vine.
Yeah.
And my cat would do certain things that she likes to do, and I'm going like, okay. Somehow we've got a blend of the two. So I know that we had posted some questions for you, and you asked us to send you a picture of the cat.
so that you can see her eyes.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit. Did you pick up anything?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. I'm going to your questions now so I can take a look at them again.
Okay.
You asked about she loves the vegetables and fruit more than cat food and meat sometimes. And does she know that she's different than other cats? She certainly has that feeling. Her first response to the question was, well, of course I'm different. I'm the queen of all cats.
I knew it.
Yes.
Yes. So she is one of these felines that is definitely diva material, as I would say. And she doesn't necessarily see her eating the fruits and vegetables, though, as something that's all that different.
She thinks she's a person.
She doesn't understand why more cats wouldn't, and she does get that some cats don't.
Mm-hmm.
She also stressed to me, well, I still like meat. And I'm like, of course you do. You're a cat. But yeah, to her, it isn't as an unusual a situation as it is to everyone around her. So she doesn't, for her, her difference is more that, well, of course I'm different. I'm the Queen of Sheba. So that's how she sees herself as different, as simply, well, she's the best cat there is. So.
Yes.
That's because we tell her that regularly.
Yes, we pump her ego.
And she loves that, by the way. You are incredibly good cat servants by her measure. So awesome.
That's nice to know. I get that feeling that she is happy here, and
she was grateful to be adopted.
Yeah, I think you know
she's spoiled.
My dad says that cat found the luckiest day ever when we found her. Like, okay, we rescued you, and it's like, you know, here you go, queen. This is how you're supposed to be living your life.
Well, connecting with her, as she grew up, you became the perfect next step. She actually enjoyed her time with the little girl.
Oh, good.
She enjoyed the exuberant energy. I would call Kimba a little bit of a wild beastie, and I remember meeting her when she was quite a few years ago when she was a kitten, when I was at your place, I think. And she was a wild little beastie. She was all over the place.
Yes.
So she had that energy, and then as she grew up into her diva-ness, as we'll say, you certainly became the greatest next step, because being covered in paste and finger paints wasn't going to work anymore for her.
Yeah. You got that right, exactly.
Yeah. So you became the next refinement of her life, which she very much appreciates.
And another question that we posted, and I think this is going to help a lot of people out, that you can help them, especially at this time of year with the holidays around, and a lot of people want to go back to visit their friends or family and have to leave for a week or so at a time, and what to do with the pet. Do we bring in a pet sitter? Do we
take it to
a kennel? And that's something that we always have a question about. Like, she seems very adventurous, but we're not sure if I've always been told keep cats at their house so they're not stressed out. They're not like a dog. Dog go anywhere, or a cat likes to stay in one place.
But I think this cat might enjoy us taking her, you know, on tour with us and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like on a road trip for a month. So I'm just curious, is she giving you any feedback from that, those types of questions?
Sure, and it's going to be, you know, unique for each animal. So
yes.
I can speak to that somewhat generally from my experience with a lot of animals over time, but honestly, it's always going to be unique to that specific animal. Some animals don't mind being boarded at all. To them, it almost feels like a vacation, especially if the boarder is someone they're familiar with and it's a good boarder. Other animals are going to be completely stressed, and that may be one of the worst situations you can bring them in over the three choices, which is leave them home and have a caretaker come in, or bring them to maybe a friend's home that they're familiar with. Like you said, dogs are going to adjust to that much easier, especially if this is an aunt or a friend or a family member the dog loves already and has been to the home several times. Cats, you're less so. the cat is definitely going to feel more stressed being taken out of its environment. Your cat specifically does not want to be removed from the home when you leave if you're going to leave her alone.
Okay.
She would much prefer to be at home. She would also prefer that you do not go for long periods of time. She gets really bored.
that sounds like her.
I asked her about a companion then in that kind of case, because some animals really do well with a companion.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of cold-shouldery about that. She feels like, yeah, well, maybe, but only if I could be the boss.
Yeah, she's so, got to not get knocked off her throne.
You know, we thought about that, too. It's like, well, maybe we'll get her a friend. And I'm like, yeah, but does she want a friend or does she want to be the queen by herself?
It could happen for her, but it would have to be the right one. So if you're going to adopt, go through a rescuer agency that does a vetting process, they call it, where they make sure there's a good match so that you find that one animal that they're just going to get along and the animal that's going to fall in the pecking order underneath her, because she's absolutely not going to tolerate that. Other than that, she's pretty much happy being the only queen in the house.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Now, as far as you and this specific animal, Kimba, and you taking her out on trips with you, she's definitely an adventurous soul. She would not mind that. Safety's going to be an issue. If you want to make sure she is secure and safe in an environment like a bus or a van or something that she knows, for some sort of homing feel to it, you also don't want to lose her in some strange place. Finding her again will be difficult at best, not impossible.
Yeah.
So you want to take care of those security issues for yourself and for her safety, but she's definitely hoping to go on tour with you or something like that. I'm showing her pictures of what a bus, of course, because we've done this before together, so what a bus looks like. And she's game. She's like, sure, let's do it. If you're with her, traveling is going to be better. And so if you want to potentially leave her at someone's house, for example, it would have to be someone you've visited with her several times and she's finally gotten so used to the space. And if there's another animal in the space, the other animal, that she considers it like a second home.
Let me tell you, we lived with the entire band for filming for the last year. We were filming a project and the entire band all lived under one roof. And she didn't like any of the guys in our band. She doesn't seem to like any other people coming anywhere near us. She seems to go through this thing where, I love you, Mommy and Daddy, but none of your friends, relatives, neighbors, or anybody who comes within 20 feet of you. So I don't even know if she could live or go to somebody else's house, because she seems to not like anybody but the two of us.
Yeah, it's the least likely of all the three for you. And the boarding is not probably going to go well for her either. She's not going to be a good patient.
Yeah.
She will survive it. She will stay safe. But she won't be happy with you or them or anyone else. And if she gets unhappy enough or if that got to be too much of a habit, she could start to make herself sick, wanting to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting to be in the situation anymore.
Right.
Animals will often do that in order to get themselves out of the situation. They'll go to the greatest wellness in the least resistive manner.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
like I said, they're not afraid to cross over. So if they feel like, I'm out of here, this situation sucks, there's no way out, other way out, they will check out. That's not a problem for them.
Totally makes sense.
Gotcha.
So leaving her at home is your best bet. And most people are going to find that to be the best bet with their animals. Being in the home space is going to give them the most security. And having someone they know and trust come over and feed them is going to be the best. So if you have a trusted pet sitter, we had one. I mean, I have a male cat here who will run from any living thing that he sees that isn't me or, you know, my ex-wife at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And, this cat sitter we had could draw him right out of the cat door from the garage, right into her lap.
Interesting.
And so she was just the perfect. She had a cat whisperer vibe, and she was the perfect person. So we could leave them with her. Otherwise, he would be. I mean, she'd feed him and he would be. He'd
well,
never
that's,
come out.
That's what we've gone through in our experience with touring. We'll be gone for 4 days and the cat won't eat until we get home or drink or use the bathroom or anything. And that's why my anxiety was always high leaving her.
Yeah, but she's been good, because I know that I've had other cats that have literally not eaten or drank for 3 or 4 days. And the last time we left, though, we had cat sitters come by, and they said that she seemed to be okay. She was eating and drinking, but they played with her too.
They were entertaining her. She needs entertaining.
Yeah, she needs entertaining.
And that's big for her. The reason. You know, cats need to eat and drink regularly, even if they have to be force-fed, because they'll go into kidney failure after a certain amount of days. Now, if they're a young cat like yours, that can be a week or more before that kind of thing. And I'm not a vet, so don't take me on my absolute timing word here, but you definitely want to keep food in an animal. The reason why hasn't been eating or drinking as much when you go is mostly to spite you.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking.
It's mostly because she was pissed at you that
we left her
upset or scared. She was just mostly like, well, heck with you. How dare you leave me and leave me here with nothing to do. She does get bored pretty easy.
Yeah, she does. We do a lot of playtime.
Right. And she's liking that. And you're around when you're around. You're not 9-to-5-ing it every day like another person might have. An animal will get into that groove once they understand this is just the groove. And mom and dad leave at this time. They always come back at this time. I've gotten into the groove. I understand that as long as they're paying attention to the animal when they are around, that can work out just fine.
Now, do you find that birds and other types of pets, rabbits, iguanas,
guinea pigs,
whatever other kind of pet. So, like, do you find that they are all very similar to a cat and a dog? Most people have cats and dogs and can relate to that. But, you know, people have snakes and people have
fish,
ferrets, and you name it.
Yeah.
Are they all pretty similar in patterns as, like, animals as a whole? Or are they more different from each other?
Well, they're quite different from each other, even in the way they'll communicate. The cats and the dogs have a more developed sense of social, interaction with you and with themselves.
Okay.
They have strong emotional ties and bonds. They feel grief. They feel boredom. They feel a lot of things that are very aligned and similar to us. But as you get away from that, not as much so. It depends on the animal. I've certainly felt some rabbits that feel some of that too and have become a definite integrated part of the family. But as I communicate with other animals, sometimes it will more be a feeling or just pictures, and it won't be as complex. It really depends. They all have the ability to communicate. We're all dealing with consciousness here, because even every cell of your body has a consciousness. If you're energetically connecting with consciousness, then you can get that communication, so to speak. Even the planet itself has a communication that's putting out a frequency that we can all feel and respond to, and you can certainly interact with the Earth. So everything has that. So all the animals do have that, but I do notice that different animals will definitely show up differently for me. And I haven't done like really big wild game. I'd really like to do more of that, like elephants or big cats.
That'd be fun.
I haven't gotten into that. Yeah, I haven't gotten into that yet, but I'm looking for opportunities for that. I'd like to see what the difference is working with animals like that.
So, if anybody out there owns an elephant, give you a call. Is that what you're saying?
Please do. I'd love to connect with an
elephant. The Tiger Preserve in Sarasota. I know you guys listen.
These are a big wild cat, like a puma. It would be wonderful to do those kinds of things.
What type of animals have you worked with? I mean, have you worked with reptiles? Have you worked with, obviously you've worked with, you know, cats and dogs, but you said rabbits. Tell us some other animals that you've worked with, if it's been reptiles or birds or anything like that. I'm just curious.
I've connected with some birds, rabbits, as I said. Not really reptiles so much. You know, I can connect with that kingdom. And to remember something, the animals do belong to, I guess, for lack of a better word, a certain kingdom. They're all related to one another. That's where your fruits and vegetables thing and your interrelationship with your older animals comes from. We're all related in a sense in a kingdom, even as human beings. You know, there's a collective consciousness that we can all tap into that's a part of all of us. As a singular sort of expression. And so cats have that, dogs have that, domesticated animals have that as opposed to wild animals. And so I can tap into those things, but I've never actually specifically worked with somebody's pet snake, let's say. I've worked and connected with a ferret who was very socialized, so showed up, and they're very intelligent. Showed up much like a cat or a dog or even more so.
Yeah, I had a ferret, and those and we had I had a ferret that got a reading, and the funniest thing is one of the things the ferret would do is every time we had to give it a bath because they could be smelly, the ferret would freak out and just like lose its mind, and we're like, and as soon as we were done with the bath, he was all happy jumping around. We're like, what is with that? And she goes, the communicator goes, oh, he's playing. He's pretending that you're about to drown him. And he's like, no, no, don't drown me. Please don't drown me. And then once he's in there, he's just, you know, she goes, he's playing. Like, we were wondering what the hell he was doing because he would, like, lose his mind. But then once he was in it, he was fine. So she goes, yeah, he's just having fun. So we're like, oh, okay.
So it's not like you're drowning him.
No, of course not. But
no,
I think that's
great. And more times than not, that is true for most animals. I mean, it's not that they don't experience grief or have negative feelings, let's just say, that we're used to. They do. They can definitely be reacting that way in some cases, but we humans tend to imprint our own sense of life on our animals, and we think that they're often in this negative space, and most of the time the animals are too busy being happy to care one iota, and so a lot of times they are playing.
Have you been surprised by anything you've learned from an animal? Like, has something gone, wow, that really surprises me, I didn't expect that?
I was surprised fairly recently by a cat that was crossing that experienced or expressed some regret. It was one of the first times I'd ever dealt with an animal that expressed regret over crossing.
Hmm.
And it was because of his ties with his caretakers and a couple of other of the animals there. He had just had a really good life, and he wasn't 100% sure whether he really wanted to leave it or not. But it was his time, and he knew it, and he knew his body was done. And but it was the first time I'd ever actually experienced that. So it was unusual for me, yeah, and I learned something from that. I mean, that they can actually, and it's nowhere near the level of regret you and I might experience.
Right.
Not like that. But even to have an animal have a second thought about it, it was the first time I'd ever imagined that. And I know it's hard for us as human beings, we're so connected to our animals, to imagine that they'd go that easy. But we'd go that easy if we understood that that we're not going anywhere very far and we're not going for very long.
Right.
They understand what's up. They understand where they belong and what's going on. And the transition between two energies is not a scary thing for them. So letting go is just a matter of time's up, video game's over, time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. I'm obviously blanking. So it was unusual, this cat having some regret. I thought it was unique.
So tell our listeners how they get a hold of you, and we're gonna put the website along with the link. But you know, tell them how they get a hold of you, and again, what it requires for them to set up an appointment, and, you know, do you need like 24 hours before they can get back to you, or, you know, just give them some info as far as how they can communicate with their pets through you.
Or can they give it as a gift for or, an upcoming holiday?
Yeah,
gift?
Do you have gift certificates? Yeah, tell us that both.
Absolutely, they can give it as a gift. They can just let me know who it's for and contact me about that. My email is surfinthelight@yahoo.com. That is surfinthelight@yahoo.com. And the website is talktoyouranimals.com, T-A-L-K, the number 2, Y-O-U-R-A-N-I-M-A-L-S. talktoyouranimals.com. That'll take you right to my animal communication page on my website. And you can see all the options, various options that I offer for both communication and healing. I offer discount packages for healing as well for someone who has an animal that's going to have some ongoing care needs and they don't want to necessarily spend all the money on the extra animal communication because they may have done that on the onset or whatever. And they're just looking to save some money, but they want the healing sessions to continue. And I do this a lot with rescues that I work with, where they're picking up animals that have been abused or neglected and they need some ongoing care. So,
and I want to say too, Trip, that I want to tell our listeners. Now, we specifically asked you to come on and talk about animals because we've heard a lot recently that our listeners are concerned with animals over the holiday and they're traveling. But I do want to let our listeners know that they can contact you additionally for personal readings and connections and Reiki and a whole variety of other things that you do, not just animals.
Oh, sure. And that's all on the website as well.
Excellent.
So they can contact me for any of those types of things, and I'm available for that. Yeah, I love the animal work. It's near and dear to my heart always, so.
Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on our show, and I'm sure a lot of people have gotten something just gotten. Let's take that over again.
Hey, retard.
So I'd like to thank you for being part of our show, and I think all of our listeners got something from this. Again, if you want to get in touch with Trip, his website is
talktoyouranimals.
I'll get that correct. And don't worry, it's written down there also. But Trip, thanks again for being part of our show. We really appreciate it. And we wish you all the best in your communication with our friends,
and
the animals.
You nailed ours totally. So thank you for that as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody who's ever met our little Kimba, the queen, as now she's known, you'll know that he is dead on.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for having me. Love you both, and really glad to be on.
Thanks. Love you too, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, you bet. Bye.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guest, and this week it is a song I wrote called Get in Tune to What You Think, Say, and Do, and that is exactly what Sotani Trip is doing. He's getting in tune to his animal connection and helping people out around the world. And we really appreciate that. So this is Get in Tune by Saint Tone.
Wanna be the stone that is thrown into the lake of your soul? Let the ripple effect help you connect.
Be the stone that is thrown into the lake of your soul. Let the ripple effect help you connect
to your higher self, no need for someone else.
You've got the answers within yourself.
Yeah, your higher self is always there to help,
to guide you to your ultimate success.
Get in tune now to what you think, you say, and do. Don't be fooled now for everything.
Placed in your garden of weeds. Rearrange the place and plant some new seeds. The rake that is placed in your garden of weeds. Rearrange the place and plant some new seeds.
For the past is not the here and now.
You're worth much more.
So that's our show for this week. We hope you guys had a great time.
Don't forget to like us on Humanitarian Radio Facebook. And also, go to our website. Let us know about people that are doing great things out there in the world that you might know about, should be on our show. Stay in touch. Have a great week. Do something amazing for somebody else.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.